Hey, everybody, and welcome to an insane wild ride with Steve-O. We've got Aaron Carter, and I gotta say, he's out of his mind. This is every bit as wild as all of the other interviews you've seen him do, and maybe even crazier. Plus, we get unbelievable scoops. Like, I think this one's gonna have a lot of news articles. But I tell you this from the road on my bucket list tour, sitting in front of what I believe is a $1.7 million tour bus, we are living in absolute luxury right now. But I gotta say, I'm going without some things that I do not like to go without. Namely, I don't have any liquid death in the fridge. And that is a problem, because I love liquid death. What is it? It's sparkling and still water from the Alps that comes in infinitely recyclable 16-ounce tall boy cans, which are made to look like beers. This company has the best sense of humor out of any company ever. You gotta follow them on Instagram just to see the crazy things they post. And they donate 10% of their profits to ridding the world of plastic, man. They're out here to save the world, and they're out here to make you a healthier person, and they're just awesome, dude. I love liquid death, and it bothers me I don't have one in my hand right now. But you can have them in your hand if you go to liquiddeath.com/Steve-O. And you know what that's going to get you? Free shipping on any order of water or merch. And do you know how crazy it is that they're doing that? Water's heavy, man. And they're giving you the shipping for free just to get this cool water to your house. So go to liquiddeath.com/Steve-O. Get that free shipping on all orders of merch and water. And enjoy just supporting good people from a good company. Now, let's get into it. All right, man. Can I get a liquid death over here?
Certainly.
What is that? Water, right?
Yeah, it's just water, man.
Can I have one?
Yeah. Sparkling or non-sparkling?
Sparkling, actually, please.
Yeah, dude.
I like sparkling water.
Sparkle too, sparkle. Down.
Are you a sparkly guy?
Yeah.
I like sparkles myself.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Carter. Yeah, dude.
What's up, man?
You are a wild man on a wild ride.
You know, that seems pretty accurate.
Dude, so the last time I saw you would have been when you were on Dancing with the Stars, is that right?
Yeah, and then we did like a little cameo thing with the Giant with the WWF or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Like we were both there, and I think that's when you actually got like truly injured.
Oh, wow.
You were there that night?
Yeah, I got slammed by the Giant.
Oh, shit.
Wow, dude, I didn't know you were on that show.
Andre the Giant? No.
Yeah. And we saw each other like briefly backstage, but it was like wait, 2 seconds.
Were you talking about Umaga when he fucked you up?
Yeah, I got fucked up.
When Umaga and then the Giant did it to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So how was that for you? He just...
That was 2006 when I was in the ring
for
WWE.
Yeah, that was same time. It was painful. Like, you think it's like not real, but I mean, you got a 300-400-pound guy, regardless if they're like pretending, it's still hurts. So far.
Yeah, damn.
It still hurts, man.
And what, that's 06. I mean, how old were you then?
Dancing
like 16?
Dancing with the Stars was way after that. I was on Dancing with the Stars in 2009.
How was that for you?
Dude, I don't want to talk bad about it because they were wonderful people.
Yeah, no.
But my experience was terrible.
my experience was pretty terrible too, because I didn't realize how much work actually you had to put in.
Yeah, I mean,
like all the dancing and practicing.
Yeah, they like for me when I did it though, I don't know about you, but for me when I did it, they already the dances were already a minute and a half, and they shortened the time for dances as the seasons progressed.
I think I feel like I only had a minute to do a minute.
And then on Mondays we would have to do 2 minute dances and two of them.
It wasn't that.
And then I stole Karina Smirnoff, my partner, from the other guy on the show, Maxim Smirkovsky.
Oh, you hooked up with her?
I basically stole her like from him, and then they broke off their engagement, and then Karina and I just didn't click, and then we were about to win, and then she got mad at me because I basically didn't want to be like with her, and was like stomping my feet on purpose during live performances. Wow. With those heels. And I was
epic, man.
Like, she was just, and she would like knee me in the balls real quick, like, you know, like,
just, on, she was, on the show?
Yeah, because she just didn't want to be on it anymore with me, and she was mad, and, and she's Russian. And then I ended up dating a Russian later, and oh my God. I, like, Russian women, they're so beautiful, but man, holy, they will slice your throat open.
Have you ever revealed that, or is that an exclusive for the
Wild that's, Ride? No, that I got a lot of only exclusives just for you guys.
You reached out to us to be on the podcast, and
I was super surprised. I was super stoked. I was also super surprised because I wonder if you know this, but I got into tattooing. Right, I became a tattoo artist. Like a couple of years back.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah.
I'm a very big fan of you.
Oh, Dave, well, thank
Since
you,
the
man.
Very beginning, though. Because I'm 33, you know, and I've been doing this for 26 years. So
I appreciate
I've been watching
that
you
so
from
much.
The very beginning. I know about clown school, everything about it, but go ahead.
So I get into tattooing a couple of years ago, and it was right around the time when you got this crazy face tattoo.
Yeah, that Medusa.
And I saw that you were following me on Twitter, so I hit you up. I was like, "Yo, I hit you up on Twitter." Said,
"I missed it."
I said, "Yo, dude, I'm really good at tattooing." I even included in the DM like my portfolio of to show like that I was actually doing good tattoos. Yeah, I wasn't like trying to tattoo your face or anything, but I was like, "Yo,
promise you, if you had your tattoo gear here, I would let you do a tattoo on my face."
We might want to come back.
No, for real.
But the thing was that when I sent the DMs, then all of a sudden I was unfollowed by your Twitter account. So I don't know. I thought that I had offended you or somehow.
That's kind of strange.
Here's what a sensitive little petty bitch I am. I'm like, oh, he unfollowed me, I unfollowed him. So I thought we weren't bros anymore.
But you're like, you know what, fuck Aaron Carter,
you know,
stupid ass Twitter.
And then you reach out to be on the podcast. I'm like, fucking right on, dude. I would love to give you a tattoo. I don't know if I feel comfortable tattooing your face, but then again, my philosophy about tattooing is that I only want to work on people who are already pretty fucking tatted up, so that the stakes are low.
Yeah, well, you know,
and your face qualifies.
Yeah, so that, I got my fiance's name here. I got the three moons, crescent moons that represent, you know, the three kids that I want to have. The love. This stands for lion in Finnish language because I'm Scandinavian. Finnish, like the, you know.
What you said, like love, and that's the name of your.
That's the name of the brand, but see the way it's spelled. Is actually means lion, so that's why I have the lion here. And
what do you mean the way it's spelled means lion?
I did an album called Love like this. I got the neck tattoo, and it was about a girl that I was dating that was my backup dancer that basically screwed me over. And she did my video and 14 weeks pregnant, she was 14 weeks pregnant, and then she didn't want to have the baby. So, and then I wrote this album to her as like, you know, all these songs, like, you know, just kind of sending messages through music. I didn't think it would go anywhere, really. And then I released a song called Fool's Gold and whatever. But back to, you know, the whole love brand. It's here, there. You know, it's on my my clothing line. It's just you know, in this industry, you really have to be a lion. And I have a lot of trolls, especially since, which is really odd. Since I've become, I'm 4 years sober now.
California sober.
Cali sober, yeah. So only marijuana, that's it. So I'm Cali sober and, you know, got away from the huffing duster and doing that. And it really ruined my body, you know. I had to, and the neurons and things in my brain, and I learned so much about it. And I have to take gabapentin 3 times a day, you know.
What's gabapentin?
Gabapentin, it's a neurontin that helps you with, you know, your receptors in your brain from the damage that you do from.
What happens if you don't take it? You have trouble, like, connecting words and.
Not necessarily, but what I did makes me a high-risk seizure because I was doing huffing for like 10 years, you know, and you, hiding it from the world.
And too, right? I mean, I did nitrous, but you did a computer duster.
Computer duster.
And that dude, that's just like...
That's just like
10. You never
it's
did
like,
that,
it's,
Steve?
It's almost like... I don't know about that. Nitrous, but I've done it maybe once or something, but like... I don't know. I don't. Have you ever tried that?
I didn't. I was already sober before I found out about the computer duster.
Good.
What's the high feel like on that?
Believe it or not, I have no idea what the high from huffing computer duster is. But boy, can I tell you about the high of stepping onto a $1.7 million tour bus with 2 bathrooms, 6 bunk beds, a crate. I mean, dude, it's nuts. The luxury inside this thing is out of control, but I can't stand it because neither of the bathrooms is equipped with the Tushy Ace. And what is the Tushy Ace? Oh, my Lord. It is the most luxurious bidet that your butthole has ever heard of. This thing comes with a remote control that mounts onto your bathroom wall right next to your pooper, and you get on it, you push a button, and it warms up your butt to the temperature you desire. When you get done taking your dump, you push another button, and it starts blasting this refreshing stream of water onto your butthole. It's like power washing, power cleaning your butthole, nice and clean. And then when you get done doing that, then you push another button, and it starts, it blow dries your butthole dry. And then if you want to just take a piece of toilet paper to just wipe and see how clean your butthole really is, go ahead and do it. But it's not even necessary, which is the best thing about this product because it's like environmentally friendly. Man, I only just learned about how toilet paper is really a leading cause of the world's demise. And that's why Hello Tushy is the brand to support, and your butthole's going to love it. You cannot get more luxurious than the Tushy Ace. I'm telling you, and you can get 10% off of it if you go to hellotushy.com/Stevo. Hurry up while the holidays are popping, because if you want to get someone the most luxurious gift ever, it is the Tushy Ace. And again, you can get 10% off if you go to hellotushy.com/Stevo. I have always said Tushy's my favorite sponsor of this podcast, and I always mean it. So one more time, go to hellotushy.com/Stevo and treat your butthole and the buttholes of the people you love to the Tushy Ace. Now let's talk about huffing computer duster.
It's like 15-20 seconds and you go right back to normal.
But you're like,
but it's the craziest euphoric like high in the world, and it just, it's like you don't really like it.
Is it like wah wah wah?
Yeah. And it's really bad, and it ruined my insides and all this stuff, and then, you know, so, you know, I dealt with a lot of death. My sister, you know, she had just died, my full blood sister, from a drug overdose, and then my dad died a few years later, and, you know, went through some trauma. I released the album, and the year I released the album was the year that I went to Allo House Rehab Center. And I had already been to Betty Ford twice. And
this is 2018 when you released that album?
2018, yeah. 2018, okay. Yeah. So that's when I released it. And then I'm in rehab, and then, you know, I'm signed to Sony, and I kind of just ruined everything for myself because of, you know, the disease of addiction. And it was really sad, you know, dealing with that, you know. Not a lot of people who have, if you haven't been to rehab, it's really hard to understand or see through somebody who's actually an addict or currently using addict, you know?
I don't know. I think it's kind of evident to a lot of people if somebody's loaded. I'm so jealous of this.
I haven't been able to think about anything since.
My girl Wendy from Peru is cheating on me right now with Scott Randall.
That's how I feel about Zelda.
Dude, she loves Scott. God. When we were in your house, and dude, thanks for all the gear from your clothing line showing me your assault rifle and jumping off your fucking your roof.
Yeah.
I mean, that was quite the whirlwind tour you just gave us. And when we were in the house, he said that you bought it like a number of years ago.
Exactly a year ago.
Oh, okay.
For $620, and now the area has gone up, so it's selling for $950 right now.
That is what's happening with real estate. I'm kicking myself that I haven't done
house flipping. Done
this area flipping. Is booming, mm-hmm. and a lot of people kind of put shade on the Lancaster Palmdale area. But guys, I can ride 10 feet and then go into 40,000 acres. Of legal riding trails and suicide hills and all kinds of, you know, whoopty dooms
for like dirt biking,
yeah,
or four wheeling,
my dirt biking,
shit.
Four wheeling, and my ATX that I
is
have.
That why you chose to live out here?
Well, I did this show called Marriage Bootcamp with my mom, and I got like $200,000, paid my agents, paid my mom money, and I had like $120 left over. So I was about to go like buy a Lamborghini or something stupid, and I was living in like an apartment, and my mom fucking excuse my language, but can I cuss?
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck. No, so she rips up the check, and she's like, no. And I was like, why'd you do that? I want my Mercer Lago right now. And she's like, you're buying a house. I went and I bought a house that was actually across the street from here. And I bought that house for $420 and then sold it for $620 2 years later after being my first time. So when you're a first-time homeowner, and this was the first house I ever bought in my career or anything.
Wow.
Surprisingly, because, mm-hmm. you know, I made a lot of money, but I never made the right decisions and didn't have the right guidance either. And so, you know, I purchased this house. My mom's like, we're going to move out to Lancaster because when we lived in Florida, we used to come out to the Mojave Desert, and it's close to the Mojave Desert and all that. So we come out here, and I, you know, she's like, purchase this home, you know, and I got it for $420 and had to hold on to it for 2 years before you can
capital gains.
Yeah, exactly, correct. And capital gains, so you can, you know, take houses and flip them immediately. So now,
so that's a rule to prevent
if
people,
you sell it, yeah. before, they'll tax you like 20% on, like,
you actually legally can't.
That's just for the first time you buy a house.
No,
for a first time homeowner, you have to have it for 2 years.
Oh,
yeah. If you're going through a hard money loan, and I was going through a hard money loan with a 12% interest rate because my credit was messed up, and you know, 3 years of taxes weren't paid and all this stuff. So I had to get all this stuff squared away before I could even buy a house.
Yeah.
And
3 years of taxes not paid, like, that's pretty close to the cusp of, like, pulling a
Wesley Snipes.
And the situation.
Oh, right. But yeah, no, the situation was, I think, worse.
I had to file for bankruptcy when I was in 2014. Because my parents didn't pay my taxes when I was 12, 13, and 14. And before I turned 18, I grossed about $500 million.
Whoa, say that again. $500 million by the time you're old?
18.
Fuck.
Because I've sold 75 million records.
That's grossing.
Yeah.
It's pretty 100%. Crazy how you can earn a lot of money and it all just goes away.
Yeah.
And so the taxes on that's like, what, $200 million?
I mean, if you're making much money, you're going to 38%
taxes?
38?
Yeah, something around there.
I always ballpark it at 50%.
Yeah, that's smart.
Just keep it in your head, like, only 50% is mine.
Yeah, well, I keep it in my head, absolutely, especially because we're in California, and then, like...
Well, here's what I'm going to do is now I'm either going to sell this home and get the price that I want, or keep this home, pull the equity out, and purchase a house in Colorado. Now I got all my taxes squared away, everything, so now I can get a 2.8 interest, you know, HRA loan, and I can... you know, have my primary residency in a place like Colorado, not Vegas. A lot of people go to Vegas because of the taxes. That's why they go to. But I'm going to go to Colorado and get like this big 48-acre beautiful ranch, you know.
What part?
Yeah, because.
What part of
Colorado? What part? I've been looking at like Telluride and in areas like that.
Sounds
and,
peaceful. More peaceful than Vegas, probably.
Well, yeah, I'm not into strip clubs. I'm not into stuff like that.
Vegas is tough.
I'm more of a southern boy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if you've got T-Pain beat. Because we were talking to T-Pain about how he blew through $30 million and then like got to a point where he couldn't afford a Whopper.
Wow.
I've gotten
there multiple times.
Right.
I've T-Pained over and over.
I'm talking about like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Three-pained.
Like, but the thing was, unfortunately, and you know, my dad's not here, but my mom's alive, and I love you, Mom. I know you'll watch this, but like, they didn't handle things correctly.
Your mom was your manager.
My mom is not my manager.
She was, though.
She was. Yeah, right. She was. So she left the job of the business management accounting to my dad. And
okay.
He messed it up, and he wasn't putting the 15% of the Paul Peterson Coogan Law money into my account.
Paul Peterson Coogan Law.
So Paul Peterson was an child actor that created the law, Coogan Law, that makes you have to put 15% of your children's money, if they're actors, singers, whatever,
into an account.
Well, yeah.
Well, because parents end up blowing all that money because the parents
just like they
take
did to
hold
me.
Of it.
Otherwise, when I turned 18, I would have been left with nothing and then been basically like a slave.
Did you see what they spent it on? Were you like, what the fuck is...
Of course I did. My dad bought 4 different race boats that were worth millions of dollars. He was a professional race boat driver. We had 4 tour buses, H3 Prevos. We had 15 golf carts. We had over 45 cars, 50 dogs, 3 yachts over 70 feet, a football field.
Did you talk to them about
15 houses. My Cribs episodes, 15 houses. Like,
You did Cribs, like a whole with Cribs 15 season. Houses?
Yeah, 15 houses.
Yeah. Right, how close together were they?
Well, they were all of our neighbors' houses, and my dad wanted to create a compound, so he just made a bunch of noise until they kicked out.
Wow.
So wait, back
to this Freddy Krueger law.
Paul Peterson.
Okay, Paul Peterson Krueger.
Coogan.
Okay.
Coogan law.
They made a law so that, like, to limit the amount of a child star's money the parents can blow to 85%.
Right. You can only blow 85% of your kids' earnings.
You can only steal 85% of your kids' earnings.
It's crazy. And you know what? I actually have been petitioning and working on something called the Carter Law, which actually makes you have to put 30% of the kids' money into an account, and then they get it in increments, 18 and then 25, and they have to graduate certain business type schools in order to gain their money.
Whoa.
So they know how to manage their finances. So they don't pull
that's,
it like
yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Especially the incremental, because like
you hand
an 18-year-old like
you don't just
here's
give
$30 million. Yeah, it's like, oh,
I blew through $5 million in like a year.
Yeah, it's crazy how quick you can spend. I think I heard about Mike Tyson, like 1 year he made $400 million, but he spent $500 million that year or something like that.
I think that Mike, it was more of a $300 million situation across the
gnarly.
But
that's insane. I mean,
hardcore.
Where does it go? Like. You know,
tell me about this Aaron Carter law, because I'm very interested in that. I think you're onto something.
I think so too.
The child star earning millions of dollars, and then they have to do certain things to unlock
accounting 101 class at the local community college.
Right. Exactly. How brilliant is that, really? Because I'm speaking from personal experience. So if I look at things in retrospect and I say, okay, I'm 18 years old, I have $6 million waiting for me. Give me $2 million. And then by the time, 25 comes along, 7 years later, then I have to take, three months of business finance schooling in order to learn about 401ks, Social Security, and housing and invest proper investments. So then by that time, okay, you blew your money, but then 25 comes along and you're like, okay, I messed up. I learned. Now I need to buy a house.
Oh, you got to redo almost.
I mean, the tough part for that is that once someone's 18, they're an adult. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they'll sue you for that money. They'll be like, I'm not going to school. Yeah.
But imagine it being put out in 3 different, 18, 25, and 30. So,
if you're going to do that, you might as well keep it staggered out. I would be super stoked to sign up
for that. But it would also be making them money if it was put in proper accounts, because it would be gaining interest while they're waiting for it.
Right. When people join the NFL, and I think certain other sports leagues, they like make them take classes.
Do they really?
Just because athletes, it's like an epidemic of people going broke.
I think they
might have to.
Isn't Shaq doing something like that too? We talked about that with him.
Right. Shaq, there's this crazy documentary called Broke, which is just about athletes that made hundreds of millions of dollars.
That sounds good.
The statistics are insane, where like 90% of NBA players are completely broke within 5 years of their NBA career ending.
Wow.
Maybe getting it wrong, but
I think I am onto something when it comes to that, and it's something that's It's for them, and it's a part of my legacy, too. You know what I mean?
What was, yeah. I seem to recall there was something where you were telling Justin Bieber, like, to be careful, like, with that, you know, like you can lose it all, and you were kind of trying to be a mentor, and then he got, like, kind of nasty with you. Ah, Justin Bieber, he is a successful man, but you know what? I'm getting pretty successful too, and so can you. How? Become your own boss of an e-commerce empire. How do you do it? One word, baby, ShipStation. What's that? That's this one place where you use one interface to bring all of your shipping needs, regardless of where you're shipping from. If you're using Amazon, your own website, Etsy, you name it, it's all brought into one interface, and you get like the rates that are saved normally for like Fortune 500 companies. You get the best rates for your shipping. And you know how I know this? Because the co-host of the Wild Ride podcast, Scott Randolph, runs my warehouse and my whole shipping operation. Could we do it without ShipStation?
God, no. You buy the shirt at stevo.com, we're going to buy the labels through ShipStation.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? These people are nuts. They love me so much, and they love you for listening to my podcast so much, that they're going to give you a free 60-day trial. You don't even have to pay anything to enjoy the benefits of ShipStation. And how crazy are they to be giving you this offer with the holidays coming up? You sign up right now for free. You get to try this for 60 days. How do you do that? You go to ShipStation.com, and then you look in the top right corner of their website. There's a little microphone. You click that, you plug in the promo code Stevo, and you're off and running just in time to handle all of your holiday shipping needs, no matter how big or small your business is. And my business got pretty big. We use ShipStation. We only use ShipStation. And even if your business is tiny, you're still going to get better rates than anywhere else. It's going to be easier to use, and you're going to have a better, more successful operation. So don't turn down this offer. Go to ShipStation.com, hit that microphone in the top right corner, and type in the promo code Stevo. Get your 60-day free trial. That's 60 days of hassle-free, stress-free shipping, and just get successful like me and Justin Bieber. Yeah, dude, ShipStation. Make ship happen. Now, let's talk about Justin Bieber being a jerk.
Yeah, you know, Justin Bieber and I, we have a very peculiar relationship. Like, he hit me up on Instagram and he was like, oh, you know, come over and hang out to my house. And I was like, actually, no, you can come over to mine. I got four wheelers, and so I'm not trying to just sit around and look at artwork. You know, come over to my house. I got four wheelers, ATXs, and bikes, and we can go ride around and actually, you know, have some fun, you know. And then
when was that?
That was, you know, a year ago.
Okay.
So, and then there was an incident when he was being a little dickhead. I told him on Twitter, I said, if I see you, I'm going to punch you in your face. So,
how long ago was that?
Like, maybe like 6-7 years ago. I don't know, something like that. Like, he was doing.
So, you guys are cool now?
No, we're not cool. We're not. No, we're
but
not.
He invited
cool.
you over
I'm
a year ago?
I'm his competitor, man. Like, yeah. Like,
but a year ago, he asked you to come over.
Yeah. And I said no.
And so, when's the last time you talked to him since then?
I don't really have anything to say to Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
I know. Right. Like, you know, he Scooter Braun, you know, it was very interesting because when I released my Love album, I did a Billboard article. And then the next day, after I hadn't been out with music for like 10 years, Aaron Rosenberg, Justin Bieber's entertainment attorney, was asked a question. Of course, he approves all the questions. You know how it goes. How did you get Justin Bieber to not turn out like Aaron Carter?
Wow.
And that was the question that was asked to Justin Bieber's entertainment attorney. And I was livid because I had just done a great article with them the day before about my coming back as basically like a new artist that's producing his music and not being puppeted and doing it himself. And that really hurt. That really hurt to see that. And to see like the boycotting, because there's this underlining smear campaign, cancel culture, troll boycott thing that we're all going through. Everybody that's in this industry, I'm sure you're going through it too. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know, tell me to go fuck myself.
What, but getting boycotted?
Smear campaigns, cancel cultures, trolls, people making up lies, doxing you. You know, now that I've started to really just get my life together, it's like I feel like people are trying to bring me back down to where I was before. And I'm not that person anymore, you know? I'm engaged. I'm about to have a baby on the way, you know? It's time to be a dad. And
it's literally like a matter of a couple days, huh?
What? Yeah, like yeah, literally.
Mm-hmm. What, for the baby to be born? For
yeah, the baby, boy, is due. And
Prince is born. Crazy. Yeah, his name is Prince Michael Lyric Carter.
Congrats.
Dude, I'm wearing this Michael Jackson shirt.
Well, because Michael Jackson, I beat his Guinness Book of World Records when I was 10 years old for being the youngest male solo artist to have 4 consecutive singles in the top 10 Billboard charts.
Wow.
Michael Jackson then reached out to my mom and said, hey, I want to give your son the title of Prince of Pop. You can use that. My mom wrote a book called Prince of Pop, and then I did a song with Michael Jackson. He picked a handful of people, Luther Vandross, Celine Dion, Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, and me. And we did a song called What More Can I Give? And then I opened up with him in Madison Square Garden on September 9th and September 10th of 2001. And then we all left the morning of September 11th. And I saw the plane hit the building.
Like, you're in a plane flying?
No. I was in a limousine. I was supposed to go on tour. And Michael invited us to go to an amusement park after the show. So I was in a limousine going to a private airport. And I was across the Hudson. And I was just standing there like thinking, oh, I remember this from like Home Alone. You know, and I was just thinking, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I see the plane hit. And about 4 seconds later, I hear it. And it was just... it was crazy. And then so I saw Michael at the concert and I go, hey, I'm going to get that jacket from you. Like, he had that sparkly jacket on.
The red one?
No, the one that's made out of all Swarovski crystal that's worth like $35 million. Now, there's only
that's
two.
That's the right one to ask for.
And I was like, I'm going to get that fucking thing from you. He kind of giggled it off a little bit. Then I went to his birthday party and, you know, his 47th birthday party. And I literally just grabbed the cake and I smashed it in his face. I didn't care. I was like, I'm going to treat you like a human being. You know what I mean?
Did you get the jacket?
Later that night, me, my brother, Rodney Jerkins, Michael, and Raffle, the executor of his estates, and we're all sitting down in his living room. And Raffles leans over Mike and goes, hey, don't you have something for Aaron? Comes out, gives me the jacket. Nick gets so pissed off, he gets up immediately and leaves.
Wow.
Damn. So, wait, this is
now,
on 9/11? You were on your way? Oh, no, you're on your way to the airport. This is after 9/11. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this was just a matter of like 3 or 4 different incidents where we were right together doing things.
I see.
What was your take on like all the Michael Jackson documentary?
Leaving Neverland?
Yeah, was that the
bullshit
one?
Bullshit, man. Wade Robson, bro. Come on, dude. I'm sorry, but I was there. I spent plenty of nights with Michael. I didn't see anything remotely close to that.
But
I saw nothing but respect and generosity.
What
you
was
want,
it like
you
to...
want an exclusive?
Sure.
When I left Neverland, I came back because we used to live next door to Michael in San Ynez. We had a ranch out there, but not at this time. I leave, get in the limo after his birthday party, ride his dirt bike around. I smoked weed with Michael.
Wow.
Did he smoke a lot of weed?
Is there footage of Michael Jackson smoking weed? Yeah.
I've never heard of Michael smoking weed, actually. That's
Michael Jackson smoked weed, and I smoked weed with him.
Nice,
that's a good one.
So, and then, but here's the craziest part about all this. I get back to the Universal Sheraton, right? And my parents had 4 FBI agents and detectives there to talk to me. And they're like, did Michael do anything? And I'm like, the fuck are you guys talking? Why?
What year was
here?
This?
Yeah, how long ago was that?
I mean, I don't even remember.
He was still alive.
JoJo, right?
No,
he remembers.
He was probably still alive.
Yeah.
Let's just assume.
He was struggling.
YouTube.
No, he was alive. But to be honest with you, but to be real, he was struggling, and we all know that.
Sure.
It's not. You know,
sure.
New. It's not new news.
Well, how old are you at that time? Like 13 or like 18?
I was 16, 15.
And you slept over at his place?
Yeah, I stayed at his place multiple times. Yeah.
Are there other kids there at the time?
Mm-mm.
So it's just you just hanging all day, stay the night?
Yeah, I mean, I think it got to a point where, because I literally, you know, I'm pretty candid. I'll ask anybody anything. I don't give a shit, man.
Sure.
Like, whatever. I literally asked my sister, what's up with all this like little kid stuff going on with you? You know, like, why do they do that to you? He's like, I don't know, but all I try to do is reinstill myself into new generations so that I keep myself current. And I also never really had a childhood, so when I hang out with these kids, they give me a feeling of, like, you know, fulfilling a void in my heart, he told me. And I was like, well, then why don't you keep doing it? He's like, because they won't stop prosecuting me. Mm-hmm. They won't stop. All these mothers, and that's what I'm trying to tell you, is when I left, my parents had FBI agents and detectives there to try to sue Michael. And I said, no, 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 no. Get the hell out of here to all of these fucking guys. Mm-hmm. And then they left. And then my parents were all pissed off because they wanted to do it on purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Sure, they wanted to.
I don't find that too.
Like, your parents were interested in suing Michael?
So they wanted to sue him because
they wanted to make up a lie because of what was going on with all the prosecutions.
And they thought that there would be like a money grab. Yeah.
It's so a money grab.
What do you do with Michael when you're just kicking it with him? Are you guys like smoking a joint?
Yeah, stoner talk.
Me, Michael, and Chris Tucker went riding around on four wheelers in the mountains for like 3 or 4 hours. You know, Michael jumped into his alligator pit and started swinging around his alligator tail in the middle of the day. Like, he was just a goofy, fun guy, man. You know, and if you treated him like a person, you didn't have, you know, you're not like starstruck or whatever. And mm-hmm. people are people, man. Like, I've met everybody, you know. Like, I've had Elton John come to multiple concerts of mine, and I didn't even know at that time, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad was best friends with Bruce Willis, like, you know, like, he would come over all the time. I went to Rumors. Bruce brought me in to do Rumors Sweet 16, you know. I've met so many people that along the way, you know, that it's just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I dated Mel B from Spice Girls for, you know, a few months.
Oh, I never knew that.
And we used to tour together when I was 9 and she was 20.
My girl loves the Spice Girls. Yeah, dude. So when you make $500 million right. and your dad doesn't even put 15% into a special account for you, is it like you made all this money and you didn't even get to blow it yourself like other people blew it?
Well, I mean, that's $75 million that was supposed to go into my account. Not five. What I got.
So, is there ever any like legal action against like your parents?
No, because when all of a sudden 2014, 25, 26 years old, I don't remember exactly, but I get hit with a bankruptcy or liens and they garnish my wages. And I was like completely broke at the time, doing this off Broadway show called The Fantastics for 2 years, trying to just rebuild my accountability as a performer. And then they garnished my wages. I only made $654 a week, $80 a night, and then they garnished that. And in New York City, I was only making $312 a week, and then my lawyer, Jan Michael Morris, was like, you know, you're gonna probably get like a Chapter 11 or a 13 or something like that. He says, by the graces of God, you'll get a Chapter 7, but it's probably not gonna happen. Which means I had to either pay 11. Chapter 11 would be 25 cents on the dollar. Chapter 13. Is 50 cents on the dollar that you got to pay.
How much did you owe?
I owed over $8 million and stemming from 2001, 2003.
Damn.
So at eight.
When I was a little kid.
At 600 a week on Broadway, that's a lifetime to pay back.
At that point, I just was like, I'm screwed. And I called my brother, Nick, and I asked him, I said, yo, can I have $1,500 to retain Jan to start this bankruptcy thing? And Nick was like, oh, you got to go to therapy 3 times a week. And you have to pay for it yourself. And I'm like, I can only make $300 a week. What do you want me to eat out of trash cans? I said, I already have to wait outside of a deli at 3 a.m. to wait for the guys to give me bacon. So, like, you know.
Man.
And he said no. My brother said no, though. He was like, nah, you got to do this. And he's like, nah. And I was like, and he told me to rot in jail and hung up on me. And
man. So.
And then, and then I went to the courts, paid the money. Got him taken care of on my own.
How'd you get the money?
I ended up getting a bonus that month. For if I sold out the whole show for the month, I would get $30,000. So I got $30,000. And then I had to pay for my sister's funeral and for my that month and for my bankruptcy. And we go in, And my attorney, J. Michael Morris, was like, hey, you know, all you have to do is get a judgment against your mom and dad. They'll go to prison. You don't have to pay a dime. I said, I would never do that to my parents. I said, I don't care what they've done wrong. They've given me this career, this life, and I'm going to do good things, and I'm going to rebuild my career. So I went to the judge personally. He's an incredible litigator, and I walked up, told him my story, and the judge was like, hey, just sign these papers, and it's not on you. And I said, nope. I told him right to his face. I said, I'll pay the 50 cents on the dollar. And he goes, because you said that, I'm giving you a Chapter 7. Bam, you have a full discharge. Everything is getting paid off for you for free. You don't owe anything.
And so you didn't have to pay.
Your score goes back up to 700 because of what you just said to me.
So just a clean wipe, you're down to just
because
zero.
I told the judge I would never put my parents in prison.
Did you ever talk to your mom about it? Like, did she... Like, what does she say about it? Like, about that era when all that money's coming in and
you know,
spending?
She didn't really have the time to account for it and do it because she was with me and I was a little kid, you know. I was preteen, teen, adult, you know, and she was with me the whole time. So it was my dad's job to handle the finances, not my mom's. It was never her fault.
Yeah.
Were you like, Dad, 3 aughts? 15
no, I was like,
cards?
No. Come on, man. Never. My dad was a military policeman, and on my 18th birthday... I told him, he's like, oh, you owe me $300,000 of commissions after I got my trust fund money. And I told him no. And he pinned me down on the ground and took his .44 Magnum and shot it right next to my right ear. And I'm deaf in my right ear because of that.
Fuck.
That's what happened to me on my 18th birthday.
Are there gnarly. Any advantages to being deaf in your right ear?
No. Actually, maybe
you can't
one.
Hear you right now.
Producing like hi-hat frequency levels. Like I can hear what they're supposed to sound like. So I'll plug this ear. And I can hear what they're like, kind of like supposed to be mixed, like so.
What like it cuts out the high end or
something?
Sometimes
my equilibrium gets a little off, and I run into things, you know, because it's gone. And then I'm already have loss of hearing from fans and performing.
You said your Love album, you mixed it yourself.
I produced it. I wrote it. Andrew Wepper mixed it. Gene Grimaldi mastered it. I executive produced the project, and I funded it.
Gotcha, okay. I was going to say, mixing with only one ear would be fucking hard.
Yeah, no, I couldn't mix it.
Yeah, we put on like a YouTube video while we were driving here, and just kind of randomly, it showed you saying, you know, like your dad fired the gun and you're...
Was it called Aaron Carter being psychotic for 10 minutes or something?
No.
Because there's that video.
You watch those videos?
Hell no.
No, man.
They say things on when you're on live to try to get you to clip you, and they make their $14.28 a month and whatever.
Right. Exactly. Like, I mean, it was definitely like a hit job video. There's no question about that. Right.
But, oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
hit job video.
they showed you saying I'm deaf in my right ear, and then it was like a photo sequence, like bum 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 bum, and it was all photos of you talking on the phone, like holding it up to your right ear, like presumably like hearing the call, like so you can kind of hear in your right ear.
I mean, it's like 75% gone, so. Naturally, I'm a righty, so I do that. But then usually, I have to go to speakerphone.
Right.
So, I usually talk on speakerphone all the time. Yeah. So
fair enough.
You know.
Yeah, and dude, I'm not.
Yeah, they're
I'm
always
not.
Trying to like debunk things. Like, I kind of alluded to the fact that you were coming here right before you got here.
Right. You said that they were telling you that.
Yeah, and they were like, "You're a liar. Steve-O ain't coming over there, laughing my ass off." Everybody always thinks I own my houses. Then I show them my deeds, and then they still don't think I own it. They don't think I own all my 4 cars, and I show them that they don't. It's weird, like jealousy type of things. And
I mean, it's an impossible thing to be trying to prove it.
Yeah, but
like,
yeah.
You know, right. Oh, here's the deed.
But
like,
I'm the kind of guy, though, bro, that I'm a fire sign. So I'm born, on December 7th. I'm a pure fire sign, double Cancer moon. And I will fight you to the fucking death, and I will win. I will intellectually destroy you.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question.
I don't even have to use my hands.
There's no question whatsoever that you've definitely made some outrageous claims. Like, you know, and I like how you're candid about it. You say, like, you know, I'm not particularly humble. I'm kind of narcissistic, and I deserve to be. I like that line. You know, it's like you've pulled off some awesome stuff in your life. You deserve to feel like you're the man, right?
Well,
I'll
tell you why, Steve-O, it's because when you go so many years when you're out and you're down and people are laughing at you and humiliating you publicly, and it's in the kind of spectrum that we deal with, you know, with every type of individual you can think of. Once you do fix your life, right, like we did, we're proud of it. And we want...
We're grateful for it.
Proud, grateful.
Right.
I'm also very... I feel a lot more humble, too, you know, as time goes on. But at the same time, I'm like, yo, don't disrespect me, because you don't know how hard the work was for me to get to where I am today.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I am proud of these things. Yeah, I am proud, because without you guys... Also, I wouldn't be able to have this stuff. The fans. The fans are our boss. They're our family, but they're, to me, and they're our bosses, you know, because they pay us.
Right.
You know? So I want to show to them, hey, look, I've worked really hard the last 4 years to change my life around. I've stayed clean and sober off of huffing every single day since I graduated from rehab, being there for 90 days. And that's something that... I find that, you know, the general public or media doesn't shine light on. They want me to be the villain. I'm naturally a villain. So you don't have to piss. I have a nickname. They call me the Joker, right? Because I've been bullied so much, right? So I'm the Joker, bro. If people want to play with me, you want to play with my emotions, I'm going to paint my face and I'm going to show you who's boss. I'm going to scare the shit out of you because you pissed me off. And people on Instagram Live and all these platforms, they're being pussies, man. They're not doing anything about it. They're acting like they're ignoring it when they really need to be calling out these people and holding them accountable.
I think that what I'm hearing from you is a good, strong argument for just not paying attention to, like, comments and stuff. Because, people like you and I, we have enough people following us that there's... Of course there's going to be people talking shit in there. Like, I'm never going to win if I go through reading all the comments.
No, I don't read that. It's more so when I, like, go on Instagram, you know, and then the live comments, and I'm, like, listening to my music, and I'm trying to promote something, and then they're on there saying, oh, you look like you have AIDS, or you're dying, you're a crackhead, you're huffing again,
That's tough.
And it's back to back, all from these smear campaign bot accounts. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about with the bot accounts.
I don't really do lives, but what I do
But if you
now,
did, you'd see.
What I do now is I go in the live chat for when we premiere the episode of the podcast on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that'd be cool if you went on the live chat for this one when it premieres.
I will.
That'd be cool.
I'll be there. Yeah.
Do you have a book coming out soon?
Still working on it, but I actually changed my formula of how I want to do it. So the way I want to write my book is I want to write it with my bare hands and my handwriting.
Damn.
From me personally, and then have that published with actually my handwriting.
Hmm. Damn. Cool. Dude, my hand would get so sore.
It's
going to
be
that.
Tough,
that
but I think it's going to be a very different, like, I don't know, what's your take on
that? That's kind of cool.
I would be okay with that. However, like, you know, there's so much edit. I just finished my second book. Yeah. And, I think that the only way to accomplish what you're talking about would be to work it out, you know, finalize it with the editor, and then once you've got the final manuscript, then write it.
Yeah, agreed.
Because you don't want to, like, try to...
Actually,
so
that's
people
brilliant.
Are going to be reading it in cursive or whatever.
Yeah, how good is your handwriting?
However I write, yeah.
How good is your handwriting?
People be like, what the...
I'm a mixture between, like, cursive and, like, regular.
Me too.
That's how both of us are.
It's kind of cool, though, because you can, like, draw shit in there,
too. That's kind of how we are, like... I don't know. Like, girls got good cursive, but not dudes.
So while we were driving here, sure. Paul looked you up on Spotify, and what was the one that was like a really recent track?
91 million, bro.
91 million,
no
dude. Put
way.
It there, dude. That's sick.
Thank you.
That's huge.
Thank you, bro.
That's off of one album?
No, that's one song.
One song streaming on Spotify.
And that's just on Spotify. That song has over 250 million on all platforms.
Phenomenal, dude. Congrats.
And I was blown away.
I was like, I cannot believe this worked after going through all this hell and bankruptcy and off-Broadway and, you know, making no money and waiting for bacon outside of a deli just to eat at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, because of starving. And I can't believe that I was able to write this love project, you know, and it was dedicated to a girl that I was madly in love with that didn't love me back. And she was my dancer for 2 years. And it was profound. I released a song called Fool's Gold, and she's actually the girl in my music video. Mm. And we did it on Valentine's Day. She also made me pay her $4,000 to do it. So, which was whatever. Huh. And then like one time I caught on, she told a friend on Facebook, friend's like, "Oh, why are you with Aaron Carter?" She's like, "It's good for my resume."
Wow. When did that song drop?
That song dropped in 2018.
So fucking A, man, that's killer.
Yeah.
And then I still have an active 900,000 listeners a month.
Phenomenal.
Do you get paid good off Spotify or not really?
No, I'm actually currently about to sue Sony for a lot of money because they owe me about $1.3 million. So Sony can expect their lawsuit soon.
That album came out through Sony?
Brad Paisley sued him for $12.3 million and won, so I'm going to hire Brad Paisley's attorney. See you soon.
There you go.
Do we want to air that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I
don't care.
I mean, I don't know that saying anything about a lawsuit is going to change the facts.
It's not defamation
of
character,
you know?
Yeah. And it's the facts. I know the numbers, and I know the facts, and I know how many hats I wore in the project for, and I know what I'm entitled to. I've already done the math. I'm not stupid. You know, I don't jump into a water unless I know how deep it is.
Literally.
We saw it. Unlike
Well, especially at your house, too.
Unlike this guy over here.
So you got a new single dropping.
Yeah.
And you're going to go talk to Dr. Drew about it.
Yeah.
When's that?
Yeah. That's going to be on Monday.
Dr. Drew's my bro.
Is he?
Why are you talking to Dr. Drew about a single you're dropping?
It's a combo because it's got 4 years of sobriety.
Mm-hmm. And so much to say is about my siblings. It's about Angel and Nick. And what they put me through, and 9 restraining orders, trying to get a 5150 on me.
What's the status on all the restraining orders now?
They're gone.
They're gone? That's
yeah,
cool.
The judges told them, absolutely not. You're not getting... the first time they gave them a TRO, I got 9 restraining orders. They took, you know, 9 of my firearms away from me, 3 of my ARs, 2 of my shotguns, all my 9mm pistols, my M1A 308.
Dude, we could make an insane episode of my tattoo show.
I would love to do it. I would love to come out here.
We can ride bikes. We can shoot guns.
Did you see that AR? Can you imagine melting it down? That's a substantial.
Who wants to melt down the gun and shove it up his ass?
You're not doing that.
that's a lot to fit up your ass. I get some of it in there.
Well, you know what? If it was up your butt, you know it.
Maybe a Glock, but not an AR.
Maybe a Glock.
Don't do it.
You know, it just struck me now that, like, wow, I might be trying to bite off more than I can chew.
No, I think the tattoo thing would be great, actually.
Yeah, dude,
I actually want something else on the other side.
What do you want?
To match up. Right. Well, I wanted to get love and hate.
Mm.
Do you want to tattoo
because here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. If we only understood love, we wouldn't know what hate is. Right. If we only understood hate, we wouldn't know what love is.
Duality. In the realm of the relative.
Very important.
Yin and yang. You know, or we can talk about it, or it can be something.
Maybe not love. Love, not love.
I don't know. I think I'm pretty much done with my face tattoos. Like, I'm loaded up, and I see a lot of. Like,
there's other real estate.
And here's the thing, I'm not a SoundCloud rapper, bro. Like, every album I release, you know, sells millions. So, like, it's just a part. I'm comfortable with my identity, and that's the name of my new album. It's called Identity. So, back to Dr. Drew, you know, it's. So much to say is about them and all this stuff and about my siblings, and now it's actually like a country trap pop song.
That's cool.
So
is that the first of its kind?
I mean, there's
first
country
of someone
trap.
Doing like it like me of its kind.
There you go.
So, and then the rest of the record's got it's all real things like saying how I'm not perfect, and there's another song called Apologize to My Family that I did. I mean, and now I just got to record them. I've been going through. The project, I found an incredible producer, Morgan Matthews. My best friend, Brian Cassidy, is writing it. He's on house arrest right now, though, for written threat to kill, but he's writing it. So.
Shit.
Something to say is about your relationship with your siblings.
Yeah.
The restraining orders are gone.
Yep.
But I saw some, pretty wild stuff with the the accusations against you, your brother Nick,
yeah,
and all the like police reports and this. And,
I
like,
backed it up though. You know what? And you know what? To be honest,
did anything come of that? Did
no? He couldn't sue me for cease and desist or slander. Because
well, right. Truth. No, I'm saying, did anything come of the accusations?
No, like, no. And you know what? Listen, when it comes to that, I don't like it. I don't like what I heard, what I seen, and what I saw. And, you know, I'm a mama's boy. And I just feel like that I backed it up with factual evidence. So it is what it is. But at the same time, I'm like, should I have done that? You know?
It's like, an aggressive move.
But here's the thing. I was pissed. I was really pissed at Nick because for so many years, he wanted me to get on my feet and buy a house and all this stuff. And when I did, he did not give me the words of affirmation or accolades. And he didn't say, I'm proud of you. And something as simple as that, coming from a family member, when you have such a broken family, it means a lot. And then also, he, you know, just kind of just shunned me over, like, my whole adult life. You know, House of Carters, he faked a fight, you know? It was a fake fight.
What, on the show?
Yeah, do you ever see that thing? Mm-hmm. Well, you know how I know it's fake? How everyone else should know?
Hmm.
He had a blanket over his head and all the lights were on. And you claim to be sleeping with all the lights on and a blanket over your head and the camera filming you. And you're like, ah. You got all your lights on? Mm-hmm. No, that's not how someone goes to sleep, brother. They go to sleep with the lights off.
Do you guys talk now? I mean, was the last
time
you spoke to
him? No, we don't
him?
Speak at all. The last time they spoke to me was horrible because they had the restraining orders and legally they could reach out to me and I can't reach out to them. I can't even respond in written. And this is what happens 3 months later after the restraining orders on Christmas Day when they knew I was alone and I celebrate all my holidays alone. I'm lonely on Christmas Day, whatever, just watching Home Alone and I'm just trying to enjoy myself. And I get two emails back to back from Angel who had the restraining order against me and Nick. And then they said, oh, we love you so much. Merry Christmas. Time heals everything, right? But that's what my brother said to me after he said, oh, allegedly, you know, Aaron wants to kill my wife and unborn baby. And then takes pictures of me unloading my guns out of my car at my last address and then takes it into court and says, and has his attorney say, look, Aaron's at, you know, in Vegas unloading his guns. And then my attorney goes, Your Honor, Aaron's address is in the back of the picture in California. And so it's such a complicated situation. It really is. And that's something I want to talk to Dr. Drew about. That's who I want to say, hey, Dr. Drew, what do you think in your realm of expertise as a doctor, not a TV personality, what do you think? Because, you know, I apologize to my brother, and I'll say that right now, it's the first time, for letting his skeletons out of my closet.
Okay.
Because, and letting the skeletons out of his closet, because I'm the kind of human being that I like to be held accountable for my actions. If I do something wrong, I'll tell you I'm doing it wrong. Or you'll know, and then I'll admit it to you. You know, I don't lie.
Does he know you're having a baby?
Of course. They haven't reached out, but they sent these messages, right? But I would never talk to Nick ever again if I heard a rumor from an ex-girlfriend that I broke up with that Nick wanted to kill Melanie and our unborn baby that's about to be here in 7 days. I would never send him a Christmas message.
Hmm.
You'd just be cut, bro. But here's the thing. If I had responded to Angel's message that she sent or Nick's, 2.5 years for each one in jail.
What, if you break your restraining order?
At that time.
The restraining order, 3 years.
But so are you saying you...
go by, and then they email me, and then if I responded, I sent it to my attorney. She says, unfortunately, they know that they can send messages to you and that you cannot reciprocate anything, or else each message you respond to, it's 2.5 years in jail.
Damn. But are you saying you understand where Nick is coming from? That if someone told you that and you believed it, you know, that you would probably react the same way towards him.
No, I'm saying, like,
he's saying that Nick sent him a Christmas message after.
No, that I get. That I get. But you're saying, like, if someone told you.
Keep it off the internet. Like,
yeah.
Like, come on, dude. Why are you putting it on the internet? You know, right before I went to rehab, he tweeted, oh, if you need rehab help after I got arrested for a DUI, And then that got dropped. I didn't get to have a DUI because I wasn't driving under the influence. I just hadn't been asleep for 2 days. And I was driving to the next venue in Alabama. He tweets, oh, if you need help in rehab, let me know. Dude, come on.
Right, don't tweet that.
And then I said to him, I said, why did you tweet that? Oh, I didn't have your number. Okay, then DM it, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, don't put it out there to make yourself look like this knight in shining armor.
For sure.
And that you're superior to everybody else in your family. Just because, and sorry, Nick, but bro, you've had like 3 felonies, homie.
Mm. What are his felonies?
He's had like 4 DUIs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like, he allegedly beat up Paris Hilton.
Oh, damn.
You know? I wasn't there around. I was there, but I didn't see that. But that's what she claimed. And she put it out to the world, you know? And so a lot of his behavior, I didn't like. I didn't like how he always tried to act like a father figure, but wasn't. I tried to act like a brother, but didn't know how to be a brother, you know? And then I dealt with so much bullying and torturing when I grew up. Like, they were throwing me in water moccasin pits and, you know, take me 75 miles an hour tubing. Like, and you know the danger of this kind of stuff. Like, 75 miles an hour tubing.
I had a tubing.
You fall off, you're going to. Something's
putting chicken
break.
In your jaw strap and going ever, over alligator pits.
Well, my first ever surgery yeah, right. was from a tubing accident.
Fuck, really?
There
you
go.
What'd you break?
There you go.
I didn't break anything. I had a hematoma in my leg, and they had to open it up to drain it out. See, that's scar right there.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so
I was going pretty good.
He was probably
know.
Doing 70, 75, 60, 70.
Yeah. It was when they whipped it, and because you're on the tube, your legs are hanging off. Kevo. My buddy Kevo. And because he's like, oh, Steve-O thinks he's a stuntman.
We'll show him.
Have it. And then when you whip, like, you go around faster, and like my leg hit like a log in the water or something.
Oh, you hit a log.
I mean, it must have.
Because even just the water is
we were in the
hard.
Keys, bro. So like, they're like doing that. Like, there's coral reefs around. There's, you know, It could slice you open a little bit, and then, you know, all of a sudden you'll have the lemon sharks and the bull sharks right on your ass. Mm.
Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah,
like for real.
Knows that.
Oh,
like,
I used to do
shark diving. We would get on the front of like the Carolina skiffs, and we would jump on a lemon shark and flip them over and paralyze them, throw them in the boat, and then eat them.
Damn.
So.
If your brother was here, would you ever do a podcast with your brother to hash things out, or is it a lot deeper than that?
He would never do it. He does the silent game. He trolls me so hard. He just released a song when he knows I'm releasing a song. When I was doing the boxing thing, he was posting pictures of him doing boxing. When I came back out after the Fantastics and I started touring again and making good money, I had a song, album called Aaron's Party, so I called the tour the After Party. Well, Nick just got finished doing a tour called the After Party, so he's nonstop copying and trolling his little brother. And bro, you're 42 years old. Leave it alone. Obviously, we don't get along. Obviously, you know, I'm going to be 34 in less than a month, and there is no reconciliation to have. I'm not even asking for an apology because they tried to get a 5150 on me.
Mm-hmm. Like, Steve had that.
Yeah, I had that.
Steve had a 5250.
Yeah, I did. 5150 is a 72-hour involuntary psychiatric hold. Uh-huh. 5250 is a 2-week involuntary. So, yeah,
I did not know that.
And what? So when you go in there,
that's what happens when you show up for your when they process you in for your 5150, and you spit on people and try to throw furniture. They change you to 5250. Oh,
you get an upgrade.
So that's okay.
Get an upgrade. Yeah.
You get an upgrade.
Well, I mean, it was crazy because I saw like I was going on live Instagram live a lot and just you know, doing No Jumper Adam 22 and Vlad TV and doing just different.
Those were legendary interviews.
Yeah, and I got more coming up. I got on the 29th an interview I'm doing with Vlad TV again.
Cool.
And then I'm reaching out to do No Jumper again, and then
the Adam 22 guy.
Yeah,
he was a little bit combative.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree. I agree that they all are trying to get under my skin for the most part. Besides you, you've been the only one that
I mean,
actually.
I'm not trying to get under anybody's skin or like you know,
My life is controversial, though.
I think it's fascinating. You know, I think it's fascinating. Like the phenomena of your interviews have been
big.
Like they've been the Logan Paul one was particularly
impactful. Like, yeah,
particularly crazy.
Yeah, it was, because that's when I first revealed about all the stuff with the rape stuff allegations with my brother.
That was on Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I mean, I gave him my chain,
and I got his chain, and
but
I like the guy. I think those guys are.
Did you see their appraisal of like they said that the pendant on the chain you gave him had real diamonds.
Yeah,
but that the necklace had fake diamonds on it.
Yeah, I don't know why he said that. That's definitely not true. Because I brought a Presidium diamond tester and tested the diamonds right in front of him on the show. So and then he gave me a necklace that I found out from Sonny the jeweler only cost $5,000 to make.
He said that it had been appraised at $15,000 the one he gave you.
He's a liar. I talked to Sonny the jeweler. That's the guy who made it. $5,000 it cost to make that necklace.
Oh. Mm. So I like Logan Paul.
Me too.
I like Logan
Me
Paul
too.
A lot.
I love what they've been able to do, and they have a good work ethic and they work hard.
Dude, insane work ethic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
For you, like, does the feeling of success at such a young age, so much success, but you're kind of like probably pretty used to it at like 9 or something. Like, how does success feel differently now when you put out an album yourself and you get like 91 million streams? Is that, do you kind of realize like, this is what, like, what did it feel like as a kid, and what does it feel like now?
It feels like I'm proud of it because it's my body of work. You know, it's not, you know, like somebody else's tattoo that did it to you. You know, it's like you did the tattoo on yourself or something yourself. The gratification behind that is completely different. It's, the juxtaposition is just crazy from having an album that other producers do and then when you do your own body of work. But here's the caveat, that now this album is being produced by Morgan Matthews and written by my best friend in Florida, who's been on house arrest for 8 months right now for a written threat to kill. So, like, you know,
that's a hell of a writer.
Yeah, it's good squad.
He's got a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah, the guy who's in prison for house arrest for a written threat to kill is the writer of your album.
Yes,
so it's gonna kill.
And he's my best friend.
It's gonna kill. He's writing a lot of threats.
It's gonna murder.
It's gonna murder.
It's gonna murder.
Okay, so when you did the boxing thing, was that like a huge payday? Like, people seem to be making a ton of money on the boxing thing.
Nope. I got $15,000. I found out that Lamar got $40,000, but I'm done with celebrity boxing. That's an exclusive. Damon, we're no longer doing business. Because I just got a deal to fight somebody bigger for $60,000.
You did?
Okay.
With Fight TV, with a different company.
And you're going to take the fight?
So that's what you get, Damon, for playing people short, because I brought more ratings than you've ever had.
I think
that's my narcissistic side, by the way.
My personal view is that you versus Lamar Odom in a boxing match,
completely unfair.
I think I don't think there's any shame in losing that fight.
At least I went in there.
You went in there.
You know, it's like when it's like when Johnny 11. Went in there with Butterbean. You know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously, he knew he was gonna get messed up, but he was doing it to be like, yo, the bigger the challenge. You know, let's go for it.
Sure,
you know,
of course.
I could have been a part of the Jackass, I would have. I would have made a great member of that show with you guys. You know what I mean?
There's no shame in losing a fight to Lamar Odom. But he
didn't knock me out. He only just gave me 2 concussions.
Okay.
Only 2.
I think that I'm appalled that you only made $15,000 on that.
He only gave me 15 grand.
Was it? It was a pay-per-view event, right?
He said the pay-per-view made no money.
So you're supposed to get a piece of the back end, but he just said there's nothing.
But nothing.
I don't think that sounds right, because they were hyping it up on TMZ and shit. Like, it's coming up. Like, there's no way that didn't do some pay-per-view.
Well, that's where I have to say let go, let God. And just say, I don't want to waste my time with auditing him. I don't want to waste my time with hiring attorneys. Clearly, I was fucked over by the man and celebrity boxing, and I will no longer do business with them. And that's it. It's not personal. It's business, but now it became personal. So you can, you know, I did so much work. I took out of that 15 grand that I made, I put 8 grand into training. And then he got me a couple of interviews. So maybe like 30 grand total with everything. But I put like, so, but that's like, you know, $22,000. That's nothing. He paid Lamar Odom $40,000. I found out.
I mean, even, well, perhaps celebrity boxing since then has become like such, like all these YouTubers boxing.
I know, but this was recent as hell.
When was that? When did you fight Lamar
Odom? Yeah, this was just last year.
Yeah, all right.
No, this year. It was June.
This was like a few months ago.
This was like June.
I didn't realize that.
This was June 9th.
Wow.
6 days after, or a few days after my sister who passed away's birthday in June 6th.
Fuck.
So I was appalled that, you know, it's like, don't play me like that, you know? Like, because I'm going to talk about it. I'm gonna find a platform, and I'm going to find somebody, you know, that's going to, because I'm controversial. I say it the way it is. I'm not, you know what? I have a saying. I'm never going to be a prisoner to anybody's perception of me.
Good.
Yeah. It's the way to be.
You get it, right?
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, it's
like, because then if you are, you have no identity. You're constantly trying to be what everyone else wants you to be.
Sure, and just trying to prove yourself. Even.
And trying to prove yourself
yeah.
and all that. And that's just too much energy and too much time spent.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like what Steve was saying, like just ignoring those comments and just getting
Yeah, you know, I've gotten to that point now where I kind of look over it, but it's entertaining for me too because, listen, everybody says ignore. But we're not making a difference, guys, if we're ignoring them. If you're holding people accountable and making them go on FaceTime Live and showing their face, I mean, like, for me,
I don't know. You kind of give them what they want. They go to school the next day. They're like, dude, he put me on his live. Like, it was crazy.
No,
like,
I don't put them on. I embarrass them and I humiliate them.
Right.
And
but,
I give them what they deserve.
Because if negativity.
Yeah, the acknowledgement.
Some guy wrote a bad comment about me and I saw it and I was like, dude, that kind of hurt my feelings. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think you were going to read it. Like,
no, but that's,
you know, it's like.
But I feel like trolls and people need to be held accountable because you can't.
Here's a saying for you. Silence is the deadliest weapon.
Yeah.
You fucking ignore them. Like,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
But by acknowledging negativity, it's like, you know, pouring water to grow it and feed it and nurture it.
Right. But I still feel
water to grow it.
I respect your opinion about that. But at the same time,
I see some negative shit. It's block and delete, pal.
We call it washing their mouth out with soap.
But for me, for some reason, it's much more heightened than other people.
Yeah.
It really is. I can't tell you. Like, look at the YouTube videos, guys. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'm sure the hate is
much more heightened.
That's true. It's
worse. You know, it's much worse because I have all the Backstreet Boy fans against me because of what happened with Nick.
That's true.
Oh, man, that's gnarly. Here, I'm going to lower this mic a little bit and, he's got a good joke.
Lux had some bangers last night.
Lux had some bangers the other day.
I forgot him already.
What do you call a lesbian dinosaur?
A lick-a-lot-a-puss.
You like that.
Why'd the monkey fall out of the tree? It's just dead.
Because Nick shot it.
Hey, I have a quick question. I got a question for you. So your son comes up to you when he's like 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
And he's like, Daddy, I love you. I want to get in the music. Do you say not a chance in hell or of course?
I say, well, he's not going to say I want to get into music. What's going to happen is that he's going to be raised not around technology. He's going to be raised around pianos, music, his daddy producing with his grandma, my mom, picking blueberries at the Weekiwachee River in Florida. We'll be in Colorado by that time, you know, and he's going to be raised kind of like I was raised in the grunge days in the 90s and stuff, you know.
Why was the strawberry so sad? Because his mom and dad were in a jam.
Jesus. I have some, but I cannot say them.
Well, wait, so back to Scott's question.
I was talking about his unborn child.
It's like a Norm MacDonald show.
What did the baby corn say to the mama corn?
What?
Where's popcorn?
What's Moby Dick's dad's name?
I feel so alienated right now. I feel like I needed these jokes in the last 3 years. Like,
yeah.
Like all that shit. Like,
I haven't thought about any of these jokes in years.
Oh my God, that's so great.
But wait, oh, sorry. Back to Scott's question. What if your kid comes to you and he's like 10 and he's not saying, I want to be a musician. He's saying, Dad, I want to be famous. Like, how do I,
no way.
Can I be famous?
No way in hell. I'm going to say no way in hell.
Yeah. Fame is the real, it's not the music that you're worried about.
It's not fame. Yeah. It's not what it is. It's not money. It's not fame. You got to remember, I started at 7 years old in 1995, and I didn't have a wallet until I was 16 years old. I didn't do it for money. I did it because I wanted to do cartwheels, climb up palm trees. I can climb up a straight telephone pole.
I'm down to see that.
I'll show you. I'll climb straight up that pole.
Right on.
Like a monkey. No, seriously, better than anyone you've ever seen. I'll show you guys after.
That's where the line would be. Like, if you want to get into music, you're like, that's dope. Make music. But if he was like, I want to be famous, I want to be a celebrity.
He probably will want to, because he'll see like me, and I'm not going to stop. I'm a solo artist, and I'm going to continue to evolve, and that's kind of where I'm going now with my music. It's more of like a Sting, Peter Gabriel type of vibe. Mm. So like a hybrid of that.
Cool.
And, you know, just real stories, real things relative in my life. But if he comes up to me and says, I want to be famous, I'm going to say, no. What's fame mean? This is what I'm going to ask him. What's famous mean? And I want to hear his answer.
They're hooking up with a lot of chicks
and
making money.
But he's not going to be raised that way. He's not going to be on an iPad. He's not going to have Baby Shark drilled into his head for 2 years.
That's good.
You know?
So I'm
appalled by that. With that Baby Shark, the parents that like literally turn it on
for
their kid.
Baby Shark?
Baby Shark.
Yeah.
So parents literally play it to shut their kids up. All kinds of different things, and I'm appalled by it.
It's so funny when parents are like, oh, all the kids' shows, like, I hate the kids' shows, but the kids love them. Like, if you never show them that, they'll never want it, you know? Like, show them, like, Seinfeld or whatever you want to watch, and they'll be like, oh, this is what TV is.
I think my kid is going to be hopefully into all, like, the Marvel stuff, because I'm a huge fan of Marvel and, like, Chris Hemsworth.
But not, like, Paw Patrol.
I'm a big fan of Robert Downey Jr., because him and I both went to McCallum Hall at Betty Ford Center.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a huge super guy.
But you got any touring and stuff, like, coming up?
Yeah, we're working on the touring right now. Right now, it's important and imperative for me to be there for the first couple of years, you know, for my son's life. So I'll start up again maybe in a year, you know. I'm releasing the project, and then I'm releasing the album on my mom's birthday, March 9th. So, you know, to commemorate, thank her for giving up her dreams to give me and Nick ours. And that's something that another reason why I have a problem with my brother is because he doesn't give her, like, even though she suffers from alcoholism, I put her in rehab 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And took her to the doctors who helped me. And then that's when I came out for the first time about actually being, I said on the doctors, I lied to all the world and I want to tell the truth. I went to rehab for huffing dust or cans.
Good, man. So we got the touring's just kind of on the back burner.
Yeah. It is.
We're working on the
book. I'm doing like one-off shows, working on the book. You know, I'll wait. I'm a very patient person, so I wait for the right energy to approach me. I'm in no rush, you know. So I'm definitely going to take your advice now, by the way. So I'll give you a shout out on the back of the book.
Cool, because, mate, yeah.
No, for real, because I think that's a brilliant idea is to have the editor, you know, work out the book first and then write it out.
Yeah. Don't write, no handwriting until you've got a dope
book.
No.
That's brilliant. But but it's also brilliant to come out with a book like that, because then it makes it more art. Mm-hmm. It makes it more of an art piece, because you guys have to see the person's writing, like a Declaration of Independence.
Right.
And
you can like doodle in the sides or whatever. It'll be like kind of other shit
Could be hidden little like little cryptic messages in there. Oh. Right. Little things.
The Declaration of Aaron Carter.
So what other stuff? We got the clothing line. Is that out and available?
Oh, yeah. The clothing line is on AaronCarter.com. I also have a clothing line called Baby Love. which is for babies.
Okay, good. Jumpers, and that's at AaronCarter.com.
Yeah, that's at AaronCarter.com, too.
What other stuff are we promoting?
You know, I have OnlyFans, too.
Wow,
and I okay. do about 50 or 60K a month.
50 or 60K Damn. A what do you, month what do you do on there? Fans.
I do a little bit of everything. The way I'm talking to you is no different than how I would be on an X-rated site.
So you show your dick on there?
Oh, yeah, flipping around.
You got a pretty big dick?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Nice, dude. You know. I guess the OnlyFans is a big revenue stream. We got music.
Are you being for real?
No, I think
you really have OnlyFans.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, do you whip your dick out on there?
I cleared $535,000 last year.
From OF?
Yeah, so I... yeah, I have OnlyFans, and it does great, and it's crazy because my fiance...
His camera just overheated.
Okay.
We got that one.
Yeah, you're
so... So, basically, my fiance was on OnlyFans when I met her, and I said, you know, I'll do OnlyFans instead. And she was like, well, if you can make $5,000 in a month, then I'll quit. I made $70,000 in 3 days.
Nice.
And then
dude.
I was like, well, guess you got to get off of it. And, good. And you know, it's, you know, so I have that. I have the clothing line. You know, I have, I'm into classic cars. So
we saw a lot of cars in the driveway.
I have my Duster on the way right now, my Plymouth Duster on the way. Mm. I have also a 69 RS SS Camaro with the aluminum small block in it on the way. So, and then a Cadillac. I got a 72
You're super
Cadillac.
Active on Instagram too?
Yeah, oh yeah, super active. Yeah, okay. I do lives all the time, almost like a reality show for people.
Okay,
like,
good.
I make it very like involved and I involve. And I think that's where a lot of the extra haters come from. And, you know, I don't give as much attention to them as it seems like I'm saying, but it pisses me off, bro. Like right. it really, because then I think to myself, what if there's somebody that is a professional and a producer or something that's watching this and they see this stuff, then are they going to believe it?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Exactly. We don't know. We never know. If you get a comment from a smear campaign person that says, oh, he's a pedophile or something, right? Which is like one of the number one things they like to do to people to ruin them, claim that they're a pedophile. Oh, he's a pedophile. And then someone sees like 200 likes on that post, right? Oh, automatically they're going to believe it. But then if you click on the likes, you'll see that they're bot accounts, cows, mice, and, you know, zero posts, no followers. All they follow is me.
Right.
One follower is just me. They pay attention to my every move, and it's scary.
Is there anything else that we want to plug?
You know, I mean, of course,
the song.
Honestly, I would love to. Obviously, everyone knows, but, you know, I just want to plug that. It's an honor being here with you.
Dude, I appreciate that,
and
man.
I'm very excited for Jackass 4.
Dude, I'm gonna follow you again on Twitter.
You know, I wish I got. Yeah, I will too. And IG.
Yeah, dude.
And we'll swap numbers. But I would love to. You know, if there's ever anything going on and you guys are doing some goofy stuff, man.
Yeah, we're gonna
just
come back
and
film with you, dude.
But I'm down to do anything. Okay. I'm a daredevil. I love doing this stuff.
Aaron Carter, it's just like that. AARON yeah. Carter on IG. Yeah, I just hit the follow on there. And I'm going to do the same on Twitter. All right, dude. Well, fucking say what's up to Dr. Drew for me.
Yeah, I will. And, I will, yeah, because I know he helped you out a lot, right?
Yeah, dude, big time. I love Dr. Drew. And yeah, let's get together and do some tattoos that aren't on your face.
Yeah. And if you guys ever got, like, if you ever do a Jackass 5, please bring me in. I would love to be in.
That's not my call, but...
That's okay. Well, I'll bring some good ratings. Don't worry.
For sure.
Hell yeah. Man, thanks, dude. This was awesome.
Yeah, dude. What did you think of Aaron Carter?
Dude, he's the most likable guest I think we've had, and I kind of want to hang out with him.
He's definitely friendly. He's easy to get along with. I think he's also polarizing. But what I'm really glad about is that unlike a lot of interviews that we heard about, that we saw, where people just, like, went after him, we didn't really, you know... Yeah, which we tried to keep him honest. We
what
you know,
did he say?
we weren't dicks, but we weren't pussies. Who said that? Paul said we weren't dicks on the episode, and we weren't pussies either.
Yeah, for sure. And so, here, dude, you know, I don't want to, like, burn up a lot of time, you know, but, of course, we'll be in the chat. I don't know that episode. I thought that I was a little bit all over the place. I don't know if it was my best job as a podcaster. I'll be sensitive to that in the live chat, but not nearly as sensitive as I am to the news that came from the gorgeous Paul Brisky. Do you want to?
Well, come February, I'm going to be moving on. Is that what you're telling? That's what you want me to say, right?
I mean, dude, but
you're acting surprised.
Dad, yeah, I'm surprised that you make it sound so finished and official.
I
thought it was a possibility.
Okay, come February, there's a strong possibility that I'll be moving on to a new chapter of my life, maybe moving to Tucson. Who knows? But I love you guys. Love Steve-O. Love the wild ride. AC for life.
No!
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.